Yes, at this time we have a very special guest. God is a God of relationships, and He jointly fits us together for His glory. And years ago, I met John through a friend who took me to Uganda. And ever since that relationship started, it's just been a blessing. We are in covenant relationship, this church, with John and his ministry. He is, of course, apostles don't like to call themselves an apostle, but he is an apostle, a true life apostle, a pastor of pastors. He runs a network of over 300 pastors in Uganda. Many of these are village pastors that also oversee orphans in their villages. He organizes and takes care of all of that. He is influential in the kingdom of God, and not only Uganda, but the nations around. So he is able to successfully organize our Go Deep Grace conferences. And when we go there, there's sometimes pastors from every province across the whole nation that come to hear the word of the Lord. This coming August, he'll be organizing a conference. Not only have we been to Uganda, but now we'll be going to Kenya and to Tanzania and to Rwanda, all in one trip. And he's got contacts to organize that are wanting to hear this truth of New Covenant grace. God puts us together. So not only is he joined us together for us to be able to get this word out, but we partner with him, with his church and his ministry and things that they've got going on there as well. You partner with some of his pastors, village pastors. You've built churches. You've provided motorcycles. It is a covenant relationship. And I want to tell you, this covenant relationship is for life till Jesus comes back. This is his second time to be with us. I asked him this time to please share his testimony, things that we have known for several years. I want him to share that with you so you can know him even better. Let's please welcome my good friend, John Wandera.
Thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord.
God bless. Wow. Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. Thank you very much for those wonderful smiling faces. And just turn to your neighbor next to you and welcome him or her to the river. Tell him, welcome to the river. Brother Jed, you'll do me a favor and just pull out a scripture that I want to base my testimony on, and from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, I'm going to base my testimony on. Pastor Dave, thank you very much for having me here, loving me, and treating me like a brother in Christ. Amen. Same father, different mothers. Yeah, that's right. I bring greetings from Uganda. I bring greetings from my wife, Jessica. I bring greetings from my smallest family, over 25 children. They love you. They pray for you. And we are blessed to be part of what God is doing through the River of Life Church International. And so, yeah, we thank God for what God is doing. Today, is a really very good day, and as I said, I'm going to base my testimony from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have, I have asked Brother Jed if you can do us a favor and just project it for us, and then I can base my testimony on that scripture. It's a very simple scripture, but very powerful. And without this scripture, I would not be standing before you. If I was not in Christ, then I would not be here. Paul said, therefore, if any man, black, yellow, brown, white, is in Christ, then he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
All things. It doesn't matter what things you did. It doesn't matter how you lived. But the Bible says all things become new because you are in Christ. Just a little bit of you to understand who is this John Wandera. I think when I was here, I told you the meaning of my second name. Wandera means I was born with the umbilical cord around my neck. So that means I survived death. Right from the beginning, I survived death. And indeed, the Lord has taken me through a lot of things that have happened in my life. And because of this scripture, I am standing before you here to share with you about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My father married three wives, or women. The first one, they stayed together for 25 years, no child. He married a second one. She conceived. 7 months, had a miscarriage. She never conceived again. He lived with them for over 35 years, no child. So he was forced to bring number three, who is my mother. The first two women teamed together to kill my mother. And they said, we have been with this man for over 35 years. We have not given him any seed. Therefore, no woman will produce in this family. So they performed all witchcraftism, curses, and even poisoning her to the extent that she nearly died. But the Lord saved her life because God knew that John Wandera will be born. I was born and raised in a kind of a Catholic family. My father could go to a Catholic church, practice Catholicism. My mother was practicing witchcraftism. So you can imagine what type of family I was raised in. Catholicism, witchcraftism. Confused the family. At the age of 16 years old, friends, the reason why I love this scripture, at the age of 16 years old, the Lord sent a preacher to my school, in my class, and he shared the gospel. That was my first time to hear the gospel, and the gospel touched my life. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and the Lord changed my life on that spot. And when I went back home to share with my family about my new experience with Jesus Christ, you can guess what happened. I began facing a lot of persecution, hatred, denial. I was chucked out of the family. I was denied everything. I was denied even the rights as a child of the family. They denied to pay my school fees. And they said, let your Jesus pay your school fees. You are now like nothing to us. You are nobody to us. Now let your Jesus do it for you. Brothers, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Because I was being persecuted by my family, I could wake up every morning at 4 a.m. and I walk on foot, bare feet, over 35 miles to church. Over 35 miles to church. I just had that passion, the passion of knowing more of the Lord, having more of Jesus Christ in me. And that's how God began putting a zeal in my life. 16 years old, I suffered. I went without clothes. I could dress up in rags. But I was very happy, young man, full of joy, because I knew I am in Christ. And my life had totally changed. Friends, that is how I knew the Lord. The second thing is, when I got to know the Lord taught me the power in prayer. Let my testimony please teach you something. Grasp something, how God can work through you and change everything. God taught me the power in prayer. I began praying against the evil spirits that my mother was operating with. It took me five years down the road. Then one morning, my mother walks to me and says, "My son, I have realized your God is stronger than my gods." And she said, "Son, I am now kneeling down. I need your Jesus Christ in my life. I need nobody, but I need Jesus Christ in my life." Yes. I led my own mother to Christ. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. She gathered all the stuff she was using for witchcraftism. We set them on fire. And I tell you, man, the life of my mother changed. Amen. That's why I'm sharing with you this scripture. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creature. So the Lord used me, 16 years old, to lead my own mother to Christ. Then eventually, my father followed, my brothers followed, my sisters also followed. So the whole and entire family became born again, and the whole family changed. If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. Don't look at what you were before. Look at what you are right now in Christ. The world might be having a different picture of you. Your neighbors might be having a different picture of you. Your friends might be having a different picture of you. But if you're in Christ, you have a totally a new, different picture how Christ sees you. God sees you now in Christ. He does not see your past. He sees who you are right now in Christ. Friends, years later, as my life went by, because my parents had denied to pay my school fees, God planted into me an idea. Because I wanted to have my education, because in Uganda, English, to me, English is my 10th language. 10th language. So I can speak only 10 languages, and English is number 10. So down the road, because I wanted education and I wanted to serve God, I began seeing myself as an international preacher. And so, because my parents had refused to pay my school fees, do you know what I did? God planted in me an idea. And that idea has spread the whole of Africa. I started what we call a Boda Boda. Boda Boda was a push bike. Just a push bike. I could steal my father's bicycle. I didn't have a bicycle. I steal my father's bicycle. I got the border near the border with Kenya. And then I wait for businessmen who are coming from Kenya. I ride them to the market in Uganda. And then ride them back to the border, and they give me some little money. So that is how I was able to fund my own education all the way through my high school and even in college through Boda Boda business. And the Boda Boda business grew from one person to 70 boys, from 70 boys to a million of Africans who are right now benefiting through an idea that God gave to a young man called John Wandera. If you happen to come to Africa or any part of Africa, you'll find Boda Bodas. Now, later on, we moved from push bikes, and Indians saw a market and they began making the motorbikes. So now everywhere in Uganda, everywhere in Africa, you find motorbikes, but the name remains Boda Boda. Yes. Yes. So everyone who is in Christ, he is a new creature. Come on, do me a favor. Whisper to your neighbor next to you. Tell him, you are a new creature in Christ. Amen. Jesus. As my life went on, friends, I just loved to serve the Lord. I did my first church plant when I was 18 years old. 18 years old is when I did my first church plant. So I was at high school, but I was also pastoring a church. We about shoes on, but I did not care. I didn't look at how I was looking. I knew, but I was a new creature in Jesus Christ. So that is how I began planting churches, especially in places where there are totally no churches. Out there in the woods, out there in the bush, in the villages. We call them villages. And that is why you find the majority of people living out there. No electricity. No running water. No flushing toilets. And that's where you find people dying with HIV. People dying with cholera. Waterborne diseases like cholera, like typhoid. Those are the people that God gave me a heart to reach and take to them the gospel of Jesus Christ that can transform and save their lives. Amen. And so, a few years later, at the age of around 22, 23, I thought of getting married. But because I was too poor, brothers, because I was too poor, Jessica, my wife now, I met her in the same church. But one day before she knew that she'll get married to me, she whispered to her friends and told her, if God wants me to get married, he should not bring a boy like John to me. Why? Because John was too poor to take care of her. Little did she know that in the future, she will become Johnny's wife. It took God to speak to her at night one day. God visited her and spoke to her and told her, Jessica, you are going to get married to John. And two of you, I'm going to use you. She knew that was the voice of the devil. She just turned and began rebuking and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I say no. That cannot happen. I cannot get married to John. No, Lord, no, change. But God had spoken and he could not reverse it. Then God began working on her, changing her life, changing her heart, until she developed a love towards me. Amen. There are lots of stories in that, but later on, look here, brothers and friends. In Uganda, if you want a wife, you must pay dowry. In terms of cows and in terms of goats. So I had to pay 4 cows and 4 goats. Before her parents released her to me. On my wedding day, brothers and friends, I did not have shoes. I couldn't afford even a pair of shoes or a suit for my wedding. I had to borrow shoes and a suit for my wedding. But I never cared. I knew I am in Christ, I'm a new creation, and the Lord has blessed me with the most beautiful wife on the earth. We are now happily married 30 years. I have never regretted why we got married. The Lord has blessed us. And the Lord has picked us from scratch. And he has made us what we are now. Brothers, what I'm sharing this from the top, bottom of my heart, saying, don't look at what man say. Don't listen to what the people say. Don't listen to what your neighbor say. Listen to what the word of God tells you. Jesus will lift you from grass to grace. It doesn't matter the skin of your color. It doesn't matter the level of your education. It doesn't matter the money you have or you don't have. Jesus Christ is all in all. This is just a word of encouragement to encourage you that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ, and Jesus will lift you up and he will not let you down. God gave us a ministry because they had that heart of reaching the unreached, reaching the villages of Uganda. And by God's grace, brothers, by God's grace, we have been able to plant over 300 churches. This is in Uganda, Kenya, and South Sudan. Because I'm in Christ. I'm sharing you this so that you can know the person. If you hear Brother Dave saying, we are going to Uganda to John, just know, we know about John. We know how the Lord brought him to Christ. And you know what the Lord is using him in Africa. That's right. That you continue praying with me. This is how I began my ministry. 18 years old, I planted my first church. 23 years old, I planted my second church. 26 years old, I planted my third church. So I kept on planting churches and raising up leaders, raising up pastors, discipling them. And that's how the ministry has grown. From grass. From nothing. Some of you who know Africa, you know what I mean. But some of you who don't know Africa, I want to invite you to Africa. But the ministry has grown. Now we are reaching many villages, we are reaching many, many countries, and we are touching lives, transforming lives, and leading them to Christ. Uganda has been faced with a lot of things. Some of you remember the story of Idi Amin. Some of you remember the rebel activities in Uganda. Joseph Okoni. The Lord's Resistance Army. Uganda had rebels everywhere, in every corner of the country. It took Christians to pray. It took born-agains to stand and pray and push out the rebelism out of the country.
Hallelujah. Yes.
It took Christians. So right now, Uganda is enjoying peace. There is stability. There is freedom of worship. We thank God for our current president. We thank God for our current leadership in the country. God has used our president to announce and proclaim freedom of worship, and he has also given Christians the freedom to preach the gospel. It's the reason why we are using it as a window of opening to reach every village with Christ. We conduct open-air crusades, open-air outreaches. We do door-to-door. We do every type of ministry because it's a window of opening. Brothers, let's do it when we are still strong and while it's still day. Yes. Let's do it. Let's do what we can because tomorrow you'll be old, tomorrow you'll be gone. But this is our time to raise up the banner of Jesus Christ in the darkest parts of the world. So Uganda has over 2 million orphans. My own brother, biological brother, died with HIV/AIDS. And so he left 7 children. And that is how God gave me a burden to begin looking after orphans. I did not have a house. I was renting one room. So I brought these children in, and Jessica and I, with our 2 children by then, we began taking care of these orphans. But later, God spoke to me again, and he said, John, I want you to become a father to other fatherless children. Can you open up your arms and receive, welcome the suffering children in Uganda? I said, but Lord, how can I do this? I don't have a job. I'm in a ministry. And he said, with me, all things are possible. And that's how God sent me to New Zealand to do my leadership training there. And while there, I was sharing with my fellow students, and they began sponsoring orphans. At the moment, we are supporting over 350 orphans at the moment. We don't set up orphanages. We put these orphans in Christian homes, in families where they can be shown love, be cared, and then be raised in the same community. And God uses that method again for us to reach those communities with the gospel. Yes. Friends, I ask for prayers. My heart is to raise it up from 350 to 2,000 children. That is my heart and that is my goal. At the moment, as I told you, I have 25 in my house. Brother Dave and Brother Matt and Brother Clay have been in my house. They know what I mean. Children everywhere. It's a noisy and busy house. Very noisy. But we love it. It's a ministry. We know we are doing it to raise up a new generation of children who will love the Lord and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Four are my biological children. The rest are adopted orphans. Some of them, we pick them on the streets. We don't even know their parents. Some of them, their parents died with HIV/AIDS. But because if anyone is in Christ, becomes a new creature. Pray with us. Pray with me that the Lord continues using us to transform Uganda, transform Africa. So that is how the work of the orphans and the church planting has happened. As I wrap up, before I invite Brother Dave, listen to this story. For me to stand here, brothers and sisters, is a miracle. Honestly speaking, for you to see me standing here is by God's grace. I would be dead by now. Several times, rebels tried to kill my life. Even before I was attacked and shot by the Lord's Resistance Army, before then, there is that day when rebels came, took an ambush to ambush the house I was living in. But the Lord saved and protected me. Because of the burden for the orphans, listen to this story. As the Lord Resistance Army, the rebel activities in the north and Uganda was very, very high, God put a burden on my heart to travel up north to go and visit the children who are suffering in the camps, displaced children. I spent a week visiting from camp to camp, you see. But on my way back, traveling home, little did we know that the rebels had laid ambush beside the road with an intention of destroying everybody who was in the bus. So they began shooting on the bus. The bus caught fire. We saw fire. We saw smoke everywhere. I just knew that was my day. I began thinking about my family, my wife, and I say, Lord, it seems this is my day. And the rebels were firing bullets like nothing. People were dying and screaming on the bus. The guy who was seated next to me on my right was shot dead. His blood splashed on me. And I knew that the next bullet will be on my flesh. I bowed down and I said three words, Lord, help me. Indeed, the Lord helped me. This is the reason why whatever I'm doing, I do it with passion. And that whatever I'm speaking all my heart to you because of what I have been through. And the Lord spoke to me in the bus as the bullets were being fired in the bus. And he said, John, bend down, bend low, begin creeping on the dead bodies through the aisle and jump out of the bus. And that is what I did. I crept and jumped out of the bus and I ran into the bush. And listen, friends. Then the rebels turned their bullets and guns to shoot me. God is a faithful God. When you are not yet done with what God wants you to do, He will not allow you to die. Bullets were going, flying over my head. But God did not allow any bullet to touch my body because He knew why He had called me for. God protected my life. Many people died. I survived. I lost the shoes in the bush. By that time, I had some shoes on. I lost them in the bush. I don't even know where shoes dropped. After coming back to my senses miles and miles away, I began feeling my feet sore. The thorns had pricked my feet to nothing. Friends, that is how God protected and preserved my life that you are seeing me today here. I am a living miracle. I am a living testimony to testify about the goodness of the Lord. And God is not yet done with me. I believe He wants to use me in all of Africa.
Hallelujah. Yes.
When God connected me with Brother Dave 5 or 6 years ago, he came to Uganda for his first visit. Then he preached this message of grace message. I was looking at him like this. Now, when he preached on the last day, case dismissed. Oh my goodness me. I saw my case dismissed. And all the pastors that had gathered on that day, they went crazy. They said, yes, our case is dismissed. And I tell you what, the Lord has used that grace message to transform Uganda. Brother Dave has come a couple of times, but now I have trained my team. Amen. We are not waiting for Brother Dave to come over. We are now taking the grace, gospel and grace message all the way in Uganda.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
In November, they were in Uganda in October, we were invited in Lira. Over 500 pastors came. It was amazing. We have been to over 4 or 5 different conferences after Brother Dave. And we received several invitations to many places from the pastors who have tested the teachings. Brothers, we are here to transform the world. Shall we transform the world together?
Yes.
Yes. Shall we work together as partners to take this grace message all over Africa and all over the world?
Hallelujah.
This is what God has called us for at the moment. Why? If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. Brother Dave, I want to thank you very much for introducing the grace message to us. And we shall run with it in the whole of Africa. And this year, and next year, and forever.
Hallelujah.
Until Africa is transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Friends.